Morning, everyone. All right, we've decided to follow Jesus. You should have the brochure bulletin. Okay, notice on the front there a few things. Let me mention the following. After this meeting, we're going to have a baptism. Praise the Lord. We practice baptism. Jesus said, you know, go preach the gospel. People believe, baptized. We're going to have a baptism right over here after the meeting at 12:15. So we hope you can stay, support those being baptized. If you want to watch, that's great. If you have any questions, we can handle them. Baptism, number one, down your outline. August the 15th, that's next Saturday. Am I right? I believe so, yeah. Next Saturday, there's a kids' picnic. If you have children with us, or even if you don't regularly bring your children, there's a kids' picnic next Saturday. That's August 15th. Tells you location. Pickering, not that far. Tells you what to do. Okay, join us. There's a kids' Bible camp the following week. The details there. Number three, at the end of August, there's a City Youth Conference, the young people here who we appreciate, we support. Okay, it tells you the dates there, grade 7 through 12. You got any information, contact Ian. Okay, last week they gave an announcement on the Saturday. Am I right? Saturday? I think they want to help. Yeah, I'm getting a nod from over there. Okay, on the Saturday, the young people would like to have two-way communication with you, with us, the rest of us in the congregation. They're looking for ways they can help you. You know, you want them to mow your lawn, pull your weeds. Am I right? Yes. Okay. I don't, not so. Fix your car, renovate your house. All in a couple of hours. Okay. They're willing. Are you willing? Sorry, that's a little bit more. Okay, you understand. All right, so plus on the Saturday noon, this I think same time slot, they would encourage if you can invite a group for lunch. So here's a good transaction. They help you renovate your house, fix your car. They might at least wash your car. Anyway, sorry. I don't want to take too long. Okay, after this meeting, contact Roland, who's here. He was wearing the black shirt. He played the drums. Or Josh Robinson is over there. Okay, contact them. If I've confused you, they will clarify you. Okay, any questions? All right. So, okay, that's, I believe I've got all the announcements. All right. So we got 30 minutes. We're going to use them. We have, it's good. How to follow Jesus. We're going through the parables. They help us to know. We've decided to follow Jesus. How to do that, what that means practically, that's one of the things we're going to cover this morning. We're doing the parables in Matthew. We've done chapter 13, 18. We're up to chapter 20. We're just doing the parables. We're expounding them. There's a sheet to help you. There's details. We don't have time. There's a sheet we provided to help you, fill out other stuff. We only have 30 minutes. Okay, so Kingdom Sight, that's the series. This particular one, we gave the title, Exposing Envy. Exposing Envy, right? If you're human, there's a tendency for us to compare stuff. You know, here's a popular complaint. It's not fair. There you go. It's appeal for justice. You know, side with me. Side with, okay, I think another. There you go. Somebody got a yellow card, red card. No, not fair, not fair. Right? That comes, is a common complaint. It's not only on the sports field. Or why me? Right? That's another, okay. You know, this is common with us, you know, is think about it. Think about it, right? We want justice. Justice equals fairness. Everybody gets, we want equal pay for equal work. You do the job. You find out I'm not getting paid as much as the other guy. You say, not fair. Where's the justice? I appeal. You know, if you go on the plane, you bought your ticket. You find out from the person next to you, they paid a lot less than you. You think, ugh, why? I appeal. Right? I want the same price. You know, you go to the store, you buy a product, you realize the person in line has the same product, different price ticket. Hey, not fair. You're going to talk about it. If you're the only one with the lower price, you keep quiet. You say, whoa, that's my good luck. Isn't that fortuitous? I got the one with the lowest price ticket, price label. The other people, let them pay more. Yeah. Sometimes we're for fairness, justice, especially when it's not so fair to us, when it's things are, we're kind of advantageous, we maybe not so much for fairness. Okay, so there's this matter. It's not fair. And that comes up with comparison, comparing ourselves, our situation with others. And that's a human trait. We're all human. Actually, it's interesting. It's not just a human trait. It's a trait we find in animals. You know, animals will appeal. It's not fair. I think we have a video on that. Okay, let's watch it a minute.
What I want to mention to you is our fairness.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Became very well known. And we did that originally with capuchin monkeys. And I'm going to show you the first experiment that we did. It has now been done with dogs and with birds and with chimpanzees. But with Sarah Brosnan, we started out with capuchin monkeys. So what we did is we put two capuchin monkeys side by side. Again, these animals, they live in a group. They know each other. We take them out of the group, put them in a test chamber. And there's a very simple task that they need to do. And if you give both of them cucumber for the task, the two monkeys side by side, they're perfectly willing to do this 25 times in a row. So cucumber, even though it's really only water in my opinion, but cucumber is perfectly fine for them. Now, if you give the partner grapes, the food preferences of my capuchin monkeys correspond exactly with the prices in the supermarket. And so if you give them grapes, it's a far better food, then you create inequity between them. So that's the experiment we did. Recently, we videotaped it with new monkeys who had never done the task, thinking that maybe they would have a stronger reaction, and that turned out to be right. The one on the left is the monkey who gets cucumber. The one on the right is the one who gets grapes. The one who gets cucumber, note that the first piece of cucumber is perfectly fine. The first piece she eats. Then she sees the other one getting grape, and you will see what happens. So she gives a rock to us. That's the task. And we give her a piece of cucumber, and she eats it. The other one needs to give a rock to us. And that's what she does. And she gets a grape. And she eats it. The other one sees that. She gives a rock to us now, gets again cucumber. She tests the rock now against the wall. She needs to give it to us. And she gets cucumber again. So this is basically the Wall Street protest that you see here.
Okay. So it's not only humans. Which monkey are you? Right? It's also, right? Think about it. The boy on the left was probably, if he got his popsicle first, he's perfectly happy. Then the girl, maybe his sister, gets a big cone, ice cream cone. Now we have another feeling. So, you know, you get something, you're happy, right? Then you feel somebody got something more, or right? Then you're not so happy because you feel, right? There's comparison. Okay. Jesus told a parable that actually touches on this same point. We, not only animals, humans, even we as followers of Jesus are affected by this kind of thing. And Jesus is telling parables about the kingdom of heaven, right? That is not talking about, you know, he's not talking about what happens when you die, when you go to heaven. No, he's talking about how to live here today in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven actually means God is ruling in heaven. And what happens when God's kingdom comes to this earth, comes to our life? So remember the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father who is in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth," right? We're talking about what does God's kingdom look like when it comes to this earth, when it comes to your life, my life, our life together. What does it look like to live as people in God's kingdom with God as our king, with Jesus in our life? That's what these parables are talking about. How to live today. God's kingdom starts now. Well, you're already in God's kingdom. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, you've received Jesus Christ, then already God's kingdom is here with you. And it's the point of how to live in God's kingdom today. And these parables are to help us, was to help those disciples at Jesus' time and help us today. Here's the parable. We're going to go through it. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 16. I'm going to read it to you. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius," that's the payment, standard payment, "a denarius a day," that's a day laborer's wage, "he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about the third hour," so first beginning of the day, 6 a.m., third hour, 9 o'clock, "he saw others standing idle, other workers standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about 6th hour, 12 noon, 9th hour, 3 p.m., he did the same, go and work in the vineyard, whatever's right. About the 11th hour, he went out." That's 5 p.m., standard working day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 12 hours. 11th hour, 5 p.m., he went out and found others standing. "The master said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.'" Okay, that's the hiring successively through the day. Then now there's the payment. "When the evening came, 6 p.m., it's payment time, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, supervisor, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.'" Pay the last first, successively. The first get paid last. "When those hired at the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius, standard pay for a day's work. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius." Everybody's getting the same pay. "On receiving it, they grumbled. They complained at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal with us who borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he," the master, "replied to them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Friend, I'm not wronging you. I'm not being unrighteous. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Answer, yes. Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker. I choose to give this last worker as I gave you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Do you begrudge my generosity?" Actually, literally, "Is your eye evil because I'm good?" Evil eye. "Is your eye evil, envious, because I'm good. Do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first last. Okay, that's the parable, 16 verses. All right. It touches on envy, comparison, a sense of injustice, inequity, right? The parable actually turns on the point of paying the last first, right? He hired them successively through the day, right? But paid the last first so that, in fact, the first got to see what the others got. Based on that, they had a response. Based on comparison, they had a certain response. Okay, in this parable, God is being represented by the owner of the farm. It's growing grapes, it's a vineyard, and he's hiring people through the day. At the end of the day, there's a reward given to them. God is pictured as somebody hiring workers to serve him. This is one aspect of being Christian, being engaged by God in his work, right? So God's the owner, the master of the vineyard. We, Jesus, believers are and disciples are the workers being hired. There's successive hirings and there's successive payments, okay? This, you know, everybody ends up with one denarius. Oh, okay, let's firstly put away with, what is it not telling us? It's not telling us, number one, the denarius does not represent eternal life. It's not eternal life, contrary to what some people have suggested. It's not eternal life. Why? Because it's very clear in the New Testament, we do not work in order to obtain salvation, in order to obtain eternal life. Salvation is based on God's grace, right? Think about it. The first workers worked 12 hours and they earned one denarius. You don't work to earn eternal life. That's not what the Bible says. No one can earn eternal life. We get eternal life as a gift from God. You don't work the full day to get eternal life. Neither do you work somewhat. God's salvation is not wholly based on work. Neither is God's salvation based partially on work. It's not you do your best and God will do the rest. It's not, well, you work 50%, God's grace makes up the other 50 so you can be saved. That's not what the Bible says. So God's salvation, obtaining eternal life, is totally a gift of God. Amen? Is that good? Yes. Do you like a gift? Yes. Jesus said in John 4, if you knew the gift of God, and if you know who Jesus is, you get the gift. God's gift to you and I. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God, Romans, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. You want eternal life? It's in Jesus. It's a gift. To get a gift, you simply receive it, take it, ask for it. You'll get it. It's eternal life. Amen? It's not that, so that's not what we're talking about. All right? Number two, it's not talking about everybody gets an equal reward. It's not telling us no matter what you do, how little or much you do to serve God, we all end up with the same reward. Everybody ends up equal. That's not what it's saying. There are other parables which are designed to show us, no, there is a matter of reward, and God can give different rewards. It's not telling us, no matter what, we all get equal reward. It's not telling us that. What is it telling us? It's telling us, it's a message to the disciples. Don't compare. Don't compare, number one. You know, if the first workers were paid first, they would work the whole day, they agreed to denarius. If they were paid first, they would come up and get paid first, take the denarius and go home and be perfectly happy, And the later ones would get more, and probably the first wouldn't find out. Everybody's happy. But the way the story is designed is, no, the payment scheme is the other way, so that there's this issue of comparison and how we respond to that, those kind of comparisons as people. And yeah, we believed in Jesus, but we're subject to the same thing. And we need help. How to overcome those kind of responses. How not to be that little monkey. I got a cucumber. He got a grape. Right? Before, you were perfectly happy with your cucumber. Now you found out they're getting a grape. Woo! Now you're not happy. Actually, you and I, human beings, are like that. But in God's kingdom, it's telling us God, you know, you got to know God, what God is doing. And then, okay, understand God and accept he's the master and he's not bound by those kind of things. He's not going to shortchange you, and receive with thanks what God gives you. Amen? That's the parable. That's the point. Amen. All right. You know, it's true in our human life. You know, think about it. Some of you may work for a company, you know, maybe unexpectedly, it's a startup company, and after a while, you know, the owner decides to pay a bonus. You're a worker. You're going to get a bonus. It's a surprise. Are you happy? Would you be happy? Would you say thanks? Okay, I think if we asked, we'd find out everybody would intend, maybe a few people would forget. 90-odd% of us would say thanks, right? I got a bonus. It was unanticipated. It was out of the owner, boss's, you know, generosity. We would say thanks. Okay, actually, in the real world, you ask people in that situation. That I know of a situation recently. Everybody in a company was paid a bonus. Everybody got something, significant amount. Some, based on the owner's evaluation, got more. What percentage of people gave thanks? 90%? If we asked here, oh, we say, yeah. 90, I would say thanks. You would say thanks. He would say thanks. We all, okay, 90%. In the real world situation, how many people say thanks? Answer, there's a case recently, 10%. 10% sent an email or sent a text. That's not hard. Doesn't cost you money. 10%, only 10% said thanks. Why? Because they found out. I got a bonus. They got a bonus. She got a bonus. And so-and-so got more. If only I knew, I felt good. Now I find out he got a bonus, same. She got a bonus. He got a bonus, more. Oh, no. See, you were happy. To get a bonus, you're happy. Comparison, you find out, right? Then you're not that happy. Why? Why they got more? Why? There's the human tendency of comparison, out of comparison, envy, evaluation, and evaluation tinged with our self-interest, so we're not so happy. This parable is designed to say, you know, God is righteous, God is generous, God will give you more than you expect, but don't think you can figure it out. You know, some companies give you a formula. Based on your performance, there's a formula online. You can figure out, what is my bonus? Still people complain. God didn't give us a formula. Jesus here didn't give you a formula. The formula is not everybody gets equal. No, it's the point is God is not bound by that kind of calculation, that kind of evaluation. Nevertheless, God will give everybody. It's worthwhile to serve God. No one can complain. No one will be able to say, God, you didn't do what you said you would do. No, he will. He'll do what he promises. And God gives more abundantly than you ask or think. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we all have our situation. Sometimes we look at others, we say, how come they're, I'm a Christian, they're a Christian, I came here at the same time, they get a job, a good job, I'm here, I'm looking, how come? Things look better for them, you compare, how come God, how come this, how come that? That kind of comparison. No, God is to each of us the master. We answer to him. Let's not compare. Actually, you don't know the situation, the real situation. You say, how come, their life looks perfect to you. It looks perfect. It looks better, if we really know the situation. Comparison produces envy, takes away our joy. And today, things like Facebook are designed to help you compare. I don't know why. People go out for dinner and they take a picture. This is what I'm eating. And they post it on Facebook. And somebody else is out to dinner. They're at a different restaurant. They post, this is what I'm eating. And you look at that and you look at what I'm eating. Kraft dinner. You say, how come? Oh, they went to a Thai restaurant. Look at that. They went to a dessert place. Whoa. They always post the good stuff. They don't post it when they're having Kraft dinner. When they're having frozen pizza. Right? It's designed to make you compare. Right? Or they travel. In the past, I'm sorry, I'm old. In the past, people went on vacation. They sent you one postcard. And the postcard arrived after them. They went on two-week vacation. They came back. You met them, talked to them. 1 week later, a postcard arrived with a picture. Greetings from wherever. They didn't go that far. Right? From the coast. Today, people travel. Oh, then they posted. Today, I'm in Barcelona. Tomorrow, I'm in Madrid. Then, the next day, I'm in Venice. Then I go to Rome. Whoa, look at that vacation. You say, Nigel, where are you? I'm in Toronto. They're on the River Danube. They're taking a cruise down the River Danube. You say, Nigel, where are you? I'm looking at the Don River. And there's no cruise. And then you say, why? Why me? Why? Well, don't compare. You have the Lord. I have the Lord. He's our master. We're all before him. Amen. Right? So, in the end, the point is, God, we're serving God, we're before him, right? The end questions bring us back to God. What, the workers complained. How come they got equal with us? We work more, we work longer. We were there when the sun was hot, in the heat of the day. They came later, 5 o'clock, it's cooling down, the day's almost over. How come, not fair? The master replies, I'm not wronging you. I'm not wronging you. I promised that much. I'm giving that much. I fulfill my promise, right? God will fulfill his promises to you, to me, right? More than that, he said, I choose to give what is mine. I can give, I can bless. Can God bless others? Are you okay with that? If God blesses you, are you okay? We're all good. If God blesses others, are you okay? You're okay with that? Amen. Let's be okay with that, right? Right? Don't begrudge my generosity. God is good. God is generous. God will give us more than we imagined. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. You know, another little aspect we have time to point out is those who were there early, the first worker, they were the early ones. Some came later. It was the early ones felt, you know, how come they came later? We did more, right? Sometimes it's a little bit like that. You know, I know years ago I was in the church in London, and maybe I think the same thing happened here. Church in London, Ontario, those who were there at that time around 1980, we built the members of the church built a meeting hall, and we did it in winter. And that winter was like last winter, cold, right? But January, February, March, we built the meeting hall, right? And actually, the roofing shingles we had to bring in and heat up before you took them to the roof because they were frozen. So we're working in the cold, you know, but we're working there. Everybody's, the whole congregation's joining in. It was tough, you know. But anyway, there were those who built the meeting hall. When we finished the meeting hall, everybody was happy. Then new people came. Then you think, hey, we built this hall. We worked in the winter. We got cold. You came later. Amen. Was it? Thank the Lord, right? You know, that we shouldn't have that attitude. No, were we there? Right now, your early ones, they came later. Wind it forward. Later on, they're early. Others are later, right? In the end, God is generous. God is abundant. Amen. Let's be thankful for him. You know, so let's have a heart. This is to follow Jesus. You know, whenever that kind of consideration comes up, you know, is your eye evil? We talk about people being green with envy. There you go. Whenever your eye turns a little bit green, metaphorically, you're thinking about others, comparing, how come, right? Okay, we need Jesus. We say, Lord, I serve you. You're my master. You know my whole situation. Lord, you're good. God is good. God is generous. God is abundant. Lord, I come back to you. I serve you. I believe in you, and I follow you. Amen. All right. I think we got somewhere there with the meaning of this parable. Let's overcome envy, comparison. Let's all be before, right? Realize God is your master, my master. He's your Lord, my Lord. You serve him. I serve him. He's faithful, good, generous. It's worthwhile to serve him. Amen. Okay, let's pray and we can end this part of the meeting. Lord, we thank you. We believe God is good. We believe we have a good God, a generous God, a God who fulfills his promises. Lord, whatever you promised to us, we believe you can fulfill, you will fulfill. Lord, we've decided to follow you. We want to learn this week how to follow you, how to keep our eye on you and trust you in all our life. Lord, be with us this week. Be with each of us. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. We're going to stop there. Okay, in 15 minutes, we're going to have the baptism. So within, as we start the baptism, we ask you, if you want to continue a conversation, take the conversation out there, lots of room, so the baptism can proceed here. You want to join the baptism, support, that's good. Okay, thank you.